Are you on top of your career professionally, but not on top of your health? If the answer is yes, the Executive Fitness and Health Podcast is ideal for you. You'll be empowered to increase your health, fitness and happiness, no matter how busy your schedule is. You will receive tips on how to incorporate stress reduction, exercise and healthy eating whilst traveling, entertaining clients or during office parties so that you can lead a healthier and happier life. Here's your host and producer, Gerald Smith.
Hi everyone, my name is Gerald Smith from Slimmer, Fitter, Stronger, and today I want to talk to you about gut health and why it's important to have an optimally functioning gut if you're trying to lose weight. So, when you eat your meals, if your digestive system is really good, it can take just a few hours to digest. However, if it's impaired, it could take up to a few days. So obviously, if you're trying to lose weight, fixing your gut is going to be the key thing. Another thing, another important aspect of gut health as well is how many nutrients your body's able to absorb, because it's one thing to be eating really, really healthy foods, but if your body's not able to absorb it either, then you're not going to get the benefit. So if your gut health has been destroyed over the years, restoring your gut health is going to be really important to get you healthy, to get your cells working well, and to get your hormones function optimally. So I'm just going to explain, just going to briefly explain two key things that will happen to your gut if you've been eating processed foods for the last few years. One is going to be your bacteria balance is going to go out of whack. You want to have a ratio between 80 to 20 in favor of good bacteria to bad bacteria. Another thing you're going to get is something called leaky gut syndrome. So we'll start off with dysbiosis, and dysbiosis is the ratio between bad bacteria and good bacteria. So when you have dysbiosis, it's because you've got 80% or more bad bacteria to good bacteria. One of the things, and the way this will actually occur, as I said, is through processed foods, because sugars feed bad bacteria. They help them to grow, they help them to colonize. So you could say that if you take sugar out of your gut, out of your diet, that you could actually start to restore the good bacteria, which is true. We'll go into that a little bit later. But essentially, there's numerous things that can happen. There's numerous problems that can happen once you have a bad ratio between your good and bad bacteria. And one of them is food absorption. So you have something in your gut called villi. And they're finger-like in shape, and they go all the way through your gut. And when your villi are working optimally, they're large in terms of their surface area, but bad bacteria causes the surface area to become smaller. So because you've got smaller surface area, it's more difficult to absorb nutrients, because it's more difficult to absorb nutrients coming from your foods. So These are one of the problems which will happen if you have a bad ratio between good to bad bacteria. Another thing as well is that these bad bacteria release toxins into your bloodstream. And one of these toxins that are released into the bloodstream can also start to slow your thyroid gland down. So the thyroid gland its function is to regulate your metabolism. So if your thyroid is working more slowly, then your metabolism is going to be slower. It's going to be more difficult to burn calories. And obviously, with an impaired digestive system where you're not digesting food as well, it's going to be difficult to lose weight. So you want to restore that balance. But also this balance between good and bad bacteria, the type of food you're eating and getting into your diet, can also lead to leaky gut syndrome, and this is probably the cause of so many health problems, because what leaky gut syndrome is essentially is when your immune system doesn't recognize food and starts to attack food, and it can lead to food intolerances. It can lead to diabetes when you actually have this immune response happening all the time in your body. So what happens is that if you imagine your gut flora is a barrier which allows good foods in, which allows small particles in, and it leaves the larger particles on the other side of the barrier. So you can think of it like you would a sieve. That's exactly what a sieve does. If you want to separate the big particles and let the smaller ones through, that's what a sieve does. Your gut barrier does the same thing because you don't want to. Your body doesn't want proteins. It doesn't want carbohydrates. I mean, what it wants, it wants to break your proteins down into smaller molecules, which are known as amino acids. And it's the amino acids which pass through and get onto the other side and are used by your bodies to build cells and to do whatever it needs to do with these amino acids, build muscle, whatever it needs to do. The problem is that when the gut lining gets these larger holes in it, which allow bigger particles to come through, which your immune system don't recognize. Your immune system knows that a protein shouldn't be there. It doesn't know what it is, it just knows it shouldn't be there. So it doesn't think, it just does what it's supposed to do. It attacks. So if you imagine now you've got these holes in your gut flora, which are allowing bad food through all the time, then your immune system all the time is going to be fighting. It's going to be fighting, 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 fighting. It's going to be a war. It's never going to switch off. And it's not, I mean, the immune system, it's designed to do that. The problem is it fights, it wins, it switches off. But in this case, it's always at war. And it starts to get to the stage where it finds it difficult to recognize friend from foe. So not only is it attacking these foods, it starts to attack everything. So it starts to attack your cells. And this is where you have problems because once your cells have been attacked, I mean it basically leads to something called inflammation. And if you've never heard the term inflammation, I'll just briefly explain what inflammation is. So inflammation, when we're talking about the cell, inflammation of the cell is where the cell stops listening to hormones. So if we actually look at the cell, so the cell is, you've got your round cell, and around it you have something called a lipid bilayer. So this lipid bilayer is made of fats. And within this lipid bilayer surrounding the cell, you have receptors. So the whole idea of this lipid bilayer is to make sure that nothing can get into the cell and to keep everything in the cell. So nothing gets in that it doesn't want to come in, and it keeps the content of the cell intact so nothing can come out. However, you have these receptors on the cell which listen to hormones, they respond to hormones. So if you want to get something into your cell, then your brain will release a particular hormone which will travel down to the particular cell. It will tell the receptor in the cell, this is what I would like you to do, do it now. The receptor listens, it allows something into the cell, it's in the cell and it's stored there. That's what happened, that's what your hormones do, that's what your cells do, that's what the lipid bilayer does, that's essentially what's happening on a day-to-day basis, every single day. The problem is that when we have the immune system never switching off and it's attacking these cells all the time, your body, it then actually starts to break down and sort of destroy the receptors, if you like, or to impair the receptors so that they don't listen as well. So just an example of what inflammation can lead to. When we have insulin released, on some of my videos I talk about how insulin is supposed to, well, not supposed to, what, how insulin takes carbohydrates, it stores it within your cell. Any excess is then left and stored as fat. Now, when you have inflammation of the cell, it's no longer able to listen to the hormone and respond to insulin. So what happens is that you eat a meal high in sugar. Your body needs to get this sugar into the cell, but your cell doesn't listen because of inflammation, because of the attack from the immune system, because of toxins that are coming into your body. There's numerous reasons why your cell can't become inflamed. Leaky gut syndrome is just one of these symptoms that leads to this inflammation. So your cell can't listen to insulin, so it can't get sugar into the bloodstream. So what does your body then do? Your body says, well, okay, I've released this much insulin and you've not allowed any sugar into the cells. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to shout louder, because if you're not able to hear me, if I shout louder, you're going to hear me. You're going to let some of this insulin into the cell. So it releases more insulin. It doesn't matter though, because the cell's not going to listen. And this is how you, this is eventually how you become diabetic over a period of time. The cells are no longer listening to the hormone, and you've got excess sugar in the blood and excess insulin in the blood and in the bloodstream in the body. And it starts to break your body down. It starts to break tissues down, and it leads to diabetes. Essentially, what I'm saying is that diabetes is an inflammatory response, and hormones have, and the hormone belongs to. There's different hormones that cells need to respond to, and there's numerous cell signals which are going back and forth, and essentially, the cell's not going to listen. Because of the various different things that are happening to break down your cells. So your gut health is going to be really, really important to reducing inflammation and to and to generally to your health overall. So the combination of, as I said, dysbiosis, leaky gut syndrome, we're talking about the fact that your body's going to take longer to digest meals. When it does digest these meals, it's going to be releasing things on the other side of your barrier, sorry, on the other side of the gut flora, which are going to cause your immune system to attack all the time. So gut health is really, really important if you're trying to lose weight for these various different reasons. And if you're wondering how, if you have these symptoms, how do you stop them? The answer is actually quite simple in theory. In practice, it's a lot more difficult once you've adopted certain lifestyle habits, once you've adopted certain eating habits, if you like. But what you essentially want to do is you want to, A, first of all, reduce the amount of sugar that you're getting into your diet, because you don't want to be feeding the bad bacteria. So you want to stop sugars and processed foods, because these foods essentially break the gut down. And if you take these foods out of your diet, what you'll start to notice is that your bowel movements will improve. So if you're someone that's constipated all the time, you're not having regular bowel movements, this is one of the things that's going to improve straight away if you take processed foods out. Second thing you want to do is just make sure you're getting fats into your diet. Look at some of my other videos where I talk about what types of fats are good. You'll probably be surprised as to what are the good fats in your diet. Make sure you want to make sure you take enough protein in your diet. This is generally for more a weight loss thing, more so than restoring your gut health. But also probiotics are very, very good. And there's some debate depending on who you speak to, because some people, as part of their strategy, they don't use probiotics. They believe that just by eating natural foods over time, not letting sugar into your diet, that your gut's going to restore itself. Over time, your body will just restore itself once it's got rid of all the crap, because it's the processed foods that have caused you to get to this stage, if you are at this stage at this moment in time. Okay, but others will say that, if you, including myself, will say that if you actually have a problem between the good and bad bacteria in your gut, then what we need to do is rebuild the good bacteria. And probiotics contain good bacteria essential for gut health. So if we can eat these foods, what will happen is that they'll get into our gut and they'll colonize, they'll start to build more of these particular bacteria. And remember that you actually have more bacteria in your gut than you do cells in your body. You have trillions of these things. So you want to be eating good probiotics to restore that gut health and to rebuild and repopulate that your good bacterias to optimal desired levels. So these are essentially things which you will need to do to restore your gut health, and you'll notice straight away that you feel more energetic. You'll fart less. You have less wind. You'll have better bowel movements. Your stomach will feel better as well in general. So this is why it's important to restore gut health. I hope you've actually found this video useful. And if you want more tips on weight loss, more tips on health, more tips on exercise, then subscribe to my channel to get regular updates from me. Thank you for watching.
Thanks again for listening to the Executive Fitness and Health Podcast. If you feel that this podcast is adding value to your health and to your life, then please subscribe and rate the show on iTunes. You can contact me with your questions, problems, or concerns at slimmer, fitter, stronger@gmail.com. Have a fantastic and productive week.